community prepares to lay two of its youngest victims to rest. Police are moving closer to a motive for the gunman.
Police say they are making progress. At this time, they say the shooter killed his mother, then went to Sandy Hook Elementary, broke in and opened fire on two classrooms using an assault-style rifle.
School teachers around the country are preparing themselves for some tough questions today from their students. In Connecticut, state education officials are providing schools around the state with written guidance. Police presence will be beefed up in most schools across the nation. This is NBC News Radio. There's word that House Speaker John Boehner is offering $1 trillion in higher tax revenue in an effort to work out a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff. This is more and more Republicans cave on their policy of no new taxes.
A careful examination of our budget leads me to this clear and conservative view that revenues have to come up from these really the 16.9 that we've locked ourselves into with the ATR pledge. It's too low. It's far lower than we've been historically. And expenses have to come down sharply. That's also true.
That's Republican Representative Scott Ridgel. While Speaker Boehner's plan raises rates on those making more than $1 million a year, it also calls for $1 trillion in spending cuts. No word if the White House will agree. As soon as this week, President Obama could nominate Senator John Kerry to succeed Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Former Republican Senator Chuck Hagel could get the nod for Defense Secretary. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the project loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas can only take you so far. While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate can go a little farther. When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate. Go a little farther.
When it comes to the cable TV business, there's a lot of talk about the news channels, but there should be more talk about sports. Wall Street firm Sanford Bernstein recently valued ESPN, which includes, of course, more than one channel, at $42 billion. In fact, it's not been lost on other media companies. Recently, Comcast rebranded its low-rated Versus channel, the NBC Sports Network. And now the Wall Street Journal reports Fox soon will rebrand its speed network, Fox Sports One. Are diamonds sold at Zales the brightest? That's the question at the center of a legal case. An Ohio judge today will hear claims by Zale rival Sterling that Zales Celebration Fire diamonds mislead the public when advertised as the most brilliant diamonds in the world. Despite word over the weekend of potential progress in fiscal cliff negotiations, we see our stock futures holding near flat ahead of the last full market week of 2012. S&P futures up 2, NASDAQ futures down 8. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Do you snore? Do you share a room with someone whose snoring keeps you up at night? Finally, for the first time ever, you can put a stop to snoring instantly with SnoreBreak. SnoreBreak is not a nose or mouthpiece. It's not a drug. And it's not a procedure. SnoreBreak is a patented liner that goes beneath the pillowcase and reduces snoring from the very first night. The secret is a fusion of natural extracts that dramatically improve breathing. SnoreBreak is comfortable, easy, and virtually undetectable. SnoreBreak works, and right now we're sending risk-free trials to listeners in your area. Just call 800-510-5143. Don't suffer one more sleepless night. Whether it's light snoring or heavy snoring, SnoreBreak will help put a stop to it the very first night. Hurry and take part in this limited-time risk-free trial. Just call 800-510-5143. That's 800-510-5143. Call 800-510-5143.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the project loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing.
That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
This is Brandon Bastardo talking about his Nissan Envy Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
Now, where my uncle used to have one of these, like have an old van. Where's the big hump? What was...
It's one that it's got a hood on it.
What do you mean?
Because the vans that don't have the big hood,
yeah,
the hump's in the middle. That's where the engine is.
Oh,
so they put the engine outside so there's no hump.
So they took the hump out.
Yeah, they put it in the front.
Yeah, this leg room is amazing. Yeah.
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan Envy Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
We are in strange times. Politicians would rather fight against each other instead of for the country. People worry about Wall Street daily. But what about Main Street? Who was on our side? What do we have going for us? We've got First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDPW. And welcome, everybody. It is Monday, the 17th day of December 2012. I hope you're all doing well on what's a warmer than expected Monday morning. Who would have thunk, folks? Seriously, who would have thunk that here we are in the middle of December, and yesterday it was over 50 degrees out. Certainly, although the weather was crappy, you certainly can't complain about the temperature. And so here we go with another week. And as many of you know, and I will mention it, of course, throughout the day and throughout the week, this is our last week of airing live shows. Our last live show will be this Friday. For those of you that were not with us at the end of the show on Friday or are not connected to Facebook and or Twitter, I made the announcement that WDTW is closing down for good as of December 31st. And so we will end up our show here this Friday. And certainly we'll have time to express what's going on, et cetera, as we work our way through the week. But in the meantime, we're going to make the best of we can with the 5 days that we have left. There's a lot of topics that I want to get covered. Perhaps we can finalize some stuff and maybe start some stuff. Listen, just because I'm going to be going away on the radio for, oh, I don't know, an indeterminate amount of time does not mean that we have to stop the work that we have started. I will still be very connected to you. I would recommend highly that you follow us on Facebook and or Twitter. And please do that, because that's where we will be getting out most of the information that you will need as we hopefully find a new home for this radio program. On Facebook, just go to Facebook and search for First Shift. When you find it, like it, and then you'll know what's going on. On Twitter, it's at Tony Trupiano, at TONYTRUPIANO. Yep, it's that simple. All right. Let's take a look at what we do have going on today. Certainly after last week, after the madness of last week with regard to the state legislature, we're going to visit with Paul Egan. He is the Lansing Bureau Chief Reporter for the Detroit Free Press. We'll take a look at what I have to think is a pretty incredulous week for him. We'll also visit with Dr. Dorsetta Taylor. She is in the process of putting together a study on what's called a food desert. And it's about accessibility to food. You know, we live in the most prosperous nation in the world, and yet we still have a significant problem with hunger. And not only that, there are people that live in parts of this very state that don't have access to grocery stores, to fresh produce, and the list goes on. We'll discuss what is a much more serious problem than you may be aware of. The chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, joins us at 8 o'clock, as he does every Monday. Lots on his agenda. Christine Berry in our blog roll segment from bloggingformichigan.com. Activism is on her mind. Congressman John Dingell, just after 9 o'clock. The fiscal cliff. Joe, you need to get off the human cliff thing, dude. That was a one-time-only job thing. It's now the fiscal cliff and forever will be. And we'll see if they've made any progress. I got to tell you, I find it absolutely fascinating that the GOP works a two-day week, goes home with all of the problems that are facing us, not dealing with the reality. And John Boehner has to own that fair and square, don't you think? I do. And then last but not least, State Senator Coleman Young joins us. And listen, he is not happy with the way the lame duck session began, proceeded, and ended. And he will talk about lots of issues, but we'll also be talking about something that was big news on Friday, and that's, of course, House Bill 5711, which has been sent to the governor's desk for his signature, which will significantly hinder women's access to health care. Yep, we've got a full day. With all that said, let's get it going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, listen, you know, it's one of those days where I juggled what would be the great first word. I think that we can't, and although I didn't mention it in my opening remarks, we really do need, and I will talk about this on the other side of the sports segment, certainly what happened in Newtown, Connecticut is profound. And so our first word today is sadness. In times like this, this is where I give President Barack Obama major kudos, because he was able to reach out last night and speak to a community and to a nation in such a profound and beautiful way. But certainly profound sadness over what was lost. It's difficult to wrap your mind around it. How many people did you talk to over the weekend, as I did, that were just stunned, that are just profoundly moved, saddened to, as if this happened to them personally? Well, because it did. We need to start having a different discussion about how we keep our communities safe, and we need to start putting aside politics as it comes to some realities. One of them is access to guns, especially to assault weapons, has become way too easy. Listen, I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment, but at some point you have to look at the reality of what's going on. Mayor Michael Bloomberg was on Meet the Press yesterday, and if you listened and watched that interview, he said something that rattled me to my very core, that these kinds of massacres are only happening in the United States. Let that soak in for a minute. Sadness, deep, profound, prophetic sadness for the families, for the lives that will not be lived, for the Christmas gifts that will not be opened, and I could go on. Deep and profound sadness as we pray and care about those in Newtown, Connecticut, and beyond, those in Aurora, Colorado, those in Columbine. Ladies and gentlemen, when are we going to wake up to the reality that politics has changed the way we do everything, and it's time we change politics? We need to start keeping our communities safer. And if one of the ways we do that is to limit what some people believe are inalienable rights, well, at least we should have the discussion. Listen, if we can do the Patriot Act, certainly we can amend some gun laws. All right. Sadness is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off for second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And it's Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome back on this early Monday morning Anthony. And Anthony, why don't we start with Michigan basketball? How's that sound?
Sounds like a good note.
I understand they won this weekend.
Yeah, they put a whooping on West Virginia on Saturday.
Yeah, and what are they now, 11-0 to start the season?
Yep, and number one Indiana lost on Saturday afternoon, so we're going to probably be number two.
That's great. Well, they're having a at least early on, although I don't know how much longer we can say early on. They're doing well, so kudos to Coach Beilein and the amazing team that he's put together. Obviously, these young men are showing up to play and are playing extremely well. Maybe the Pistons can learn a thing or two from U of M. I'm just saying. That was great. All right, well, we've delayed it, and it doesn't matter. We're not going to spend a lot of time. You and I talked on Friday, of course, predicting at least a two-score victory for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, we were wrong.
It was a two-score victory.
Yeah, but not for the Detroit Lions. Wow. I don't even know where to go with this. Matthew Stafford was awful yesterday. Absolutely terrible. With the exception of Kelvin Johnson, and at this point, does it really matter? You think it matters to Kelvin Johnson that he's going to break or may break this Jerry Rice record at this point?
I'm sure there's a little something there, but I mean, when you're not winning, you know, records aren't as great. You know, when you're winning and you're setting records, that's something. But when you're losing and setting records, it's, you know, it's just whatever, you know.
Well, we do have to give the defense a little bit of credit. Only 10 points were scored by the offense. Well, more than 10 points, but legitimately only 10 points were scored by Arizona's offense. The other points were a gift from, turnovers, a really bad punt not returned, just a mess. I mean, it's just a mess. And I got to tell you, I don't know how carefully you were watching this, but Ndamukong Suh literally got pushed all over the field yesterday. He was such a non-factor on defense yesterday.
I feel like the team might have quit a little bit already.
There could be some truth to that. No question. There could be some real truth to that. It just a horrible effort. It doesn't, you know, sadly, it doesn't matter how they play out the year. It just doesn't matter at this point. Anthony, didn't Jim Schwartz just sign a contract extension?
Supposedly, that's never been released.
Okay, so it has not been confirmed either?
I thought it was confirmed at the beginning of the year, but they've never released any of the information on the contract.
All right, I'm just wondering if it's time for a coaching change, but we'll let that sit out there until another time. All right, folks, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We go to the break. Let's hear from you. First Shift gets underway right after this.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
An accident has the right shoulder of your off-ramp blocked. I-75 northbound at Mack Ave, exit 52. Also, a broken water main has the right two lanes closed. Telegraph Road northbound between Maple Road and Cranbrook. And road construction has your road closed. Auburn Road both eastbound and westbound between Woodward Ave South and Woodward Ave North. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive?
Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very girdly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
Yeah, you got the number. Feel free to give us a call. I do want to address one more thing, and then I'm gonna talk a little bit about Newtown, Connecticut, and my thoughts on that. I received literally dozens upon dozens of emails this weekend, and very supportive emails and some phone calls. Let me make one thing clear. So many of you are writing saying that you're afraid to write me, or you know you don't. I don't do that, folks. I am one of you. If I have not proven that to this point, then I have really failed. Yes, I need support right now. Yeah, I do. I need to know that you guys are there for me. I absolutely need that. I need to stay relevant until I find another home or another direction. We need to stay connected. So I want you to send me emails. I want you to be active on Facebook. I want you to call me. I don't have a problem with that. I've always been very open door about everything that I've done. And so don't feel like you're bothering me, which is really kind of what came about this weekend. And I realize that I have not responded to all of your emails yet, and I will. I promise I will get to all the emails. But I don't want you to feel like you're bothering me or you're reminding me of something that I don't want to deal with. Folks, this is my reality. I'm going to deal with it. We're going to be fine, and we're going to come out the other side of this stronger than ever. But right now, we need to stay together. And yes, I need to know that you support what I'm doing. That helps me. That helps me a great deal. This can be the beginning of something great. We just need to be unafraid to express ourselves and to be supportive. And so I want to encourage you to send me emails, again, to call me, to stay active on Facebook or whatever it is you do. But yes, I do want to hear from you, and don't feel like you're intruding on me, as so many of you wrote this weekend. This is no intrusion. I am not some radio diva, folks. I'm like you. I'm an activist. I have the same challenges that you do, and I'm happy to be part of this community that we all belong to. Okay, with that said, I've got to, before we listen to a little bit of President Obama at the memorial service for the Sandy Hook Elementary School victims, we need to change the conversation in a very profound way. As I said during the first word segment, I am very much an advocate of the Second Amendment. But when you let something like the assault weapons ban lapse and then don't renew it, where are your priorities? And all I understand that California Senator Dianne Feinstein will reintroduce that legislation for approval. And I don't want people to look at this as too little too late. Because there's a different part of the conversation we have here. This isn't just about gun control. It's not just about reform of law. This is, has everything to do with the root cause. And I think we've proven one thing in the over a year and a half that we've been on the air, that there is a root cause to every problem. And the root cause to this problem is the way we ignore. Listen to what I'm saying now loud and clear. The way we ignore mental illness in this country, and certainly in the state of Michigan, John Engler will for always be remembered as the man that single-handedly undid what was an exceptional delivery of mental health care services in the state of Michigan. He closed down hospitals and clinics. This was all in an effort to save money. There are times where perhaps you say government shouldn't be involved. Listen, I get that. And I'm not a small government guy. I'd be lying if I said I was. And I certainly am not an advocate for waste in government. But where was the waste? And where is the waste in a mental health care delivery system that ignores the most needy among us? Anybody that has ever had to deal with mental illness in their family understands the profound impact it has on them. It is exhausting. It is tiring. It is mind-boggling. You know, it's hard. Again, if you've never dealt with mental illness, and I haven't. I truly haven't. I'm happy to say that it hasn't touched my family in the kind of way that it has others. We take a look at this young man that literally had no respect for human life and what he did in that beautiful little elementary school. But he's obviously mentally ill. In fact, I'm going to suggest that his mother had a tendency to be a bit mentally ill. And for those of you that are going to scream and yell about this, I don't really care. She was what's called a prepper. For those of you that don't know what a prepper is, she was preparing for the worst case scenario in this country. She had a huge cache of weapons that, my God, would have retrofitted an army of people. What is the point of that? Well, she had believed, as the ultra-conservatives in this country do, that you need to protect yourself from the government and everything that's horrible that stands in the way of democracy. Well, these people don't believe in democracy to begin with. Do you really believe this would have happened had she had not had this cache of guns readily available? By the way, it was what ended up taking her life, because he killed her before he went and went on this other horrendous killing spree. Folks, this isn't just about gun control. It's about mental health care services that we continue to ignore as a society. And as long as we do that, we can expect much more of this to happen. 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend, and Merry Christmas to you. Tom, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
Okay. Merry Christmas to you, Tony. You know what, Tony? In terms of what the governor has to do here in terms of signing this legislation that was enacted up in Lansing about relaxing the gun laws and allowing people to take guns into schools and churches, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say Governor Snyder is a stupid man, but I mean, in light of what happened up there in Connecticut, you mean to tell me you're going to sit there and take pause to examine this? It does not need to be signed, Tony, because otherwise, potentially, we've got the same thing that could possibly happen here that happened up there, because that was a massacre.
Well, you know, and Tom, what was even worse is that the spokesperson for the House, Ari Adler, 2 hours after this tragedy happened on Friday, posted that they were going to ask the governor to sign this quickly, et cetera, et cetera. Realizing, you know, after he was criticized ad nauseum for being so insensitive, he then took the post down. But Tom, the damage had been done. Republicans care about one thing and one thing only: making sure that those that write checks to them are happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, it gets to a point where, and you know, and I'm not saying take guns away from people. I'm not talking about that. But this kind of weaponry, no individual citizen needs to have that kind of weaponry. Because, I mean, let's face it, those kinds of guns, weaponry, they were made for the military and war, okay? And I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. You know, chickens came home to roost in terms of this woman and her zeal for, you know, protecting herself.
No,
and I mean, I'm not being insensitive.
No, you're not being insensitive at all, Tom. I'm sorry, we got to get to the break, but you make some fantastic points. 888-552-3595. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Due to an accident, traffic is getting by in the right lane only. M59 eastbound at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Also, crews are still working on clearing up that earlier reported accident, blocking the right shoulder of your off-ramp, I-75 northbound at Mack Ave, exit 52. And in Bloomfield Township, a broken water main has your right two lanes closed. Telegraph Road northbound between Maple and Cranbrook. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Where one-of-a-kind holidays are made. Reserve your delicious ham or turkey online at honeybakedfoods.com. It only takes a moment to reserve your holiday memories with our convenient online reservations. To make your reservation and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan is no longer a state. It is now Michiganistan, an autocratic czardom in the hands of Emperor Rick Snyder. Formerly the Republican governor, he's now been enthroned by the GOP's lame duck legislative supermajority to rule with an iron fist. Democracy, rule of law, fairness, and the people be damned. Ironically, voters had given Snyder and his cohort of right-wing corporate ideologues a spanking for this kind of nastiness in a November referendum. The GOP cabal in Lansing had conspired last year to usurp the local authority of city governments and allow Snyder to send in unelected, unaccountable autocrats to fire elected officials and seize control. But last month, Michigan voters overthrew this absurdity. This month, however, Snyder and gang doubled down on their dumbfounding anti-democratic zealotry. With no warning, no hearings, no public input, no floor debate, and no time for citizens even to know what was happening, the same legislative czarist rammed a union-busting bill into law. Even though he had publicly rejected such a proposal earlier this year as being very divisive, Emperor Snyder gleefully signed this bill. Who's behind this madness? Say hello to two infamous anti-union billionaire plutocrats, the Koch brothers. They had funneled as much as $1 million into Snyder's 2010 gubernatorial election, and three Michigan front groups funded by the billionaire brothers have been aggressively pushing the exact same anti-worker proposal that the Republican thugs just bullied into law. This is Jim Hightower saying, two things not long for this world are dogs that chase cars and politicians who deceive and cheat the people. Already, Michiganders are organizing a petition drive for another referendum to overturn the law and return Michiganistan back to democratic rule. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. As I said, President Barack Obama spoke last evening and addressed what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. It was almost 20 minutes of some of the most beautiful and thoughtfelt and common sense rhetoric from a president I believe I have ever heard. Let's listen to just about 4 minutes of this memorial service.
Can we truly say as a nation that we're meeting our obligations? Can we honestly say that we're doing enough to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm? Can we claim as a nation that we're all together there, letting them know that they're loved and teaching them to love in return? Can we say that we're truly doing enough to give all the children of this country the chance they deserve to live out their lives in happiness and with purpose? I've been reflecting on this the last few days, and if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no. We're not doing enough. And we will have to change. Since I've been president, this is the fourth time we have come together to comfort a grieving community torn apart by mass shootings. Fourth time we've hugged survivors. The fourth time we've consoled the families of victims. And in between, there have been an endless series of deadly shootings across the country, almost daily reports of victims, many of them children, in small towns and big cities all across America. Victims whose, much of the time, their only fault was being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We can't tolerate this anymore. These tragedies must end. And to end them, we must change. We will be told that the causes of such violence are complex, and that is true. No single law, no set of laws can eliminate evil from the world or prevent every senseless act of violence in our society. But that can't be an excuse for inaction. Surely we can do better than this. If there's even one step we can take to save another child, or another parent, or another town from the grief that's visited Tucson and Aurora and Oak Creek and Newtown, and communities from Columbine to Blacksburg before that, then surely we have an obligation to try. In the coming weeks, I'll use whatever power this office holds to engage my fellow citizens, from law enforcement to mental health professionals to parents and educators, in an effort aimed at preventing more tragedies like this. Because what choice do we have? We can't accept events like this as routine. Are we really prepared to say that we're powerless in the face of such carnage? That the politics are too hard? Are we prepared to say that such violence visited on our children year after year after year is somehow the price of our freedom?
I'm telling you, folks, it is such an important day to just take stock and remember why we're here, who we are, what we do, what we believe in.
I would hope that not only will Governor Snyder not sign this heinous bill that made its way through the Republican legislature, that we begin to have a special, a different kind of dialogue, that us as citizen patriots begin to lead in uncommon ways. All of us have a voice. All of us have a purpose in our communities. And until we step up and start taking a little more control of those things that we do have control of, we will not see change, not the kind of change that stops this kind of senseless and heartbreaking violence. I can't begin to fathom what it must be like to wake up this morning or yesterday morning or the morning before that. How about the morning you send those children off to school and only to not have them never come home again? We have to be mindful that there are certain things that transcend politics, and this would have to be one of them, wouldn't it? I would hope so. I would truly hope so. I also don't want us to overreact, but I think it's important that we wonder, are our own schools safe? Are there procedures in place that make sure that if, God forbid, something like this were to visit one of our community schools, that we would be able to respond to it? Can you respond to something like this? We know that it's next to impossible to predict violence. And certainly as I'm just going to be honest with you. I am 100% anti video games on these game systems that teach youngsters to kill. My son Anthony will tell you that I am passionately, vehemently against them. Even the entertainment industry, Hollywood, that has glorified death in some way, shares in some of this responsibility. Oh, the simplistic days of just playing outside or riding your bike are long gone, and we all know that. And I'm not trying to live in the past, but I think that we need to live with reality. All right, very quickly, this from WXYZ Channel 7. Are the Metro Detroit schools ready and prepared, and are they reviewing their security procedures? Well, let's take a listen.
Both schools, like Edison Elementary here in Madison Heights, already have security measures in place. At this school, doors must be locked at all times, and people need to be buzzed in before they're allowed inside. But over the next few days, school leaders from across Metro Detroit will be meeting to see how those types of safety procedures can be improved.
Tomorrow, when schools open, we want our principals to be in the school buildings. We want our families to know that things are safe.
The superintendent of Madison Public Schools, Randy Speck, says his staff will be ready when students return to class tomorrow.
We'll get our team together. We'll look at all of our safety procedures and our protocol, go back through our crisis management plan, go back through our emergency plan to make sure we haven't missed anything and learn from any lessons that we might be able to get from what happened in this terrible tragedy.
Troy Public Schools are also beefing up security with extra police patrols during the start and end of the school day tomorrow, as well as during school hours. The superintendent of Grosse Pointe Public Schools, Dr. Thomas Harwood, is getting his staff ready as well. All teachers will take part in a meeting tomorrow before classes begin.
What I've asked the staff and the administration to do is to get together to review what took place in Connecticut and to review our practices, our policies, our procedures.
Schools in Ann Arbor will be working closely with the city's police department to review their procedures, especially security around the front doors. Detroit Public Schools are in the process of calling parents tonight to remind them that counselors will be available tomorrow for kids who are struggling to make sense of what happened in Connecticut. Kelly McDermott, 7 Action News.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I got to tell you, and I really would be doing you a disservice if I didn't share this with you. One of the trolls on the Facebook page actually said, well, if the principal at Sandy Hook would have had a gun, this wouldn't have happened. Hear what I just said. Had the principal of this elementary school had a gun, this wouldn't have happened. Of course, this troll wasn't inside the school, has no idea where the principal was, has no idea if he would have ever had a shot or if he could have in some way harmed the situation even more. But he went out of his way to say, if this principal had a gun, none of this would have happened. How incredibly insane is that thought? Because we need elementary school principals packing heat every day, especially in a small, quiet neighborhood, middle-class neighborhood. I realize that this happened in a small, quiet, middle-class neighborhood, and yes, it can happen anywhere, but do we really want to get up every morning assuming that somebody's going to come after us? Wouldn't that just create paranoia? Hasn't it already created some paranoia? I'm telling you, it is so ridiculous that the right, the far right in this state, in this listening audience, always have to take the contrarian position because, God forbid, they have to agree that something even as heinous as murdering innocent kindergartners somehow has a justification for their Second Amendment right-wing wacko point of view. I'm going to suggest that that mentality deserves a little bit of maybe mental health care. All right, a very quick break here. Kevin and Melvindale, stay where you're at. You're up next. Give us a call, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the quick break here. First Shift continues right after this.
Jack Frost sniffing at your nose.
This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Sweet Jack's giving away one gift a day for free to people like me. Enter every day for the next 12 days. Seriously, call Star Star SJ. That's Star Star 75 from your mobile phone now to unlock today's gift and start winning big.
No purchase necessary. Enter online at SweetJack.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1% or sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited in no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up? Did
diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
Ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Can we go to the phones? Let us welcome Kevin in Melvindale. Kevin, thanks for punching in this morning. Happy holidays to you.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Tony. Before I make my comment on this assault weapons and the Michigan law, or the changes in the law, let me preface my statement. I served in the military and the Army. I used to be a unit armor, which meant at one point in time I was responsible for my unit's weapons. And basically all I did every day was perform maintenance and the upkeep on a unit's weapons, ranging from M16, the 50 caliber machine guns, the M60 machine guns, and things of that nature. So I have a unique perspective on this weapon situation. First and foremost, I've always never understood why in this country we allow people to purchase or even have assault-type weapons. I can't find the justification anywhere why a private citizen should have what's called an AR-15, which is just a civilian version of the M16 rifle that the Army soldiers use. We don't use these weapons for hunting. You know, outside of law enforcement in the military, those weapons should not be able to be purchased by private citizens. There's no justification. And the time of trying to lump in the assault weapon ban with somehow saying that if they start with the assault weapon ban, they're going to take away pistols and hunting rifles and things of that nature. You know, it's time to quit playing politics with this issue. There is absolutely no reason. People can justify it any way they want to, but I'm telling you from my perspective, I know about these weapons. I've worked on these weapons. You cannot justify it. They can play politics with it, but you cannot justify why a private citizen should be allowed to carry that type of weapon. And they need to ban them immediately.
That's not
going to be the end all, but it should be a starting point.
I agree. Kevin, let me ask you this question. And, you know, do you think – oh, I'm sorry. Kevin's not there any longer. What I was going to ask him is the NRA, the National Rifle Association, are they chiefly responsible? And I'm guessing they are. They are a very powerful, very wealthy lobbying group. And that's what they are. They're not an association. They're a lobbying group. And I'm going to venture a guess that a great many of their donors are wealthy. I mean, I'm going to guess that to be an absolute fact. I wouldn't be surprised if the Koch brothers and the DeVosses and others are you know, the great benefactors, or provide a lot of financial assistance to the National Rifle Association. You won't, of course, forget what happened after Columbine when the now deceased Charleston Heston shows up in Flint. I'm sorry, showed up in Colorado. For their convention, which was just a couple weeks after the Columbine shooting, and his infamous, you know, they will not take my gun away from me until I'm the cold dead, whatever. This hysteria over guns is crazy, and Kevin couldn't be more right. Just because we prohibit the sale of automatic or semi-automatic weapons does not mean we're looking to take away somebody's hunting rifle or pistols. Again, I am pro Second Amendment. And at one point, I was even a member of the NRA, and I stopped my membership because they had gone over the edge. And they always were. I guess I just wasn't paying close enough attention. And once I did, I dropped my membership. I find it unfathomable. I do. I find it completely unfathomable that we aren't having real discussions about this. Guys, if we've got someone on the line, I don't have any information on my side of the studio. Oh, Kevin's back. Great. Kevin, thanks for calling back. I do appreciate that. I was asking about the NRA. Is the NRA the biggest part of this problem?
You know what? Yeah, because they are, you know, it seems to me that the NRA has taken a position that that lacks common sense. You know, I think that they view any type of ban on assault weapons somehow will magically mean that they're going to take away all weapons or all guns. And you know, Tony, unless I'm missing something, from the moment President Obama took office, there's been this dialogue and this fraud perpetrated on people. And I'd like to know who did it, because he's got to be a brilliant businessman, because whoever works for the gun industry in terms of selling ammo and weapons have scared folks to the point that the president is going to take your guns away. But you know what? Besides that and getting into the political stuff, you know, we got to get real on this issue. You know, we need to think about, why do we have a private citizen have the ability to buy magazines with 30-round clips? Why does an individual need that? Why does a private citizen need that?
Well, they obviously don't. You know, Kevin, let me tell you something, and people can Google me on this. Kevin, you're going to find this absolutely disgusting. You're right. Somebody perpetuated fraud upon the American people, scared them to the point that after President Obama was elected in 2008, the sale of guns and ammunition went through the roof. Record numbers of sales, because these people were convinced by the gun industry, by the gun lobby, and by the NRA that they better get it now before President Obama took their rights away. And the ridiculousness of that is the president had no agenda with regard to guns.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, and before people call attacking me, you know, I must say I am a gun owner, you know, and I've never heard the president or seen anything that said that, you know, they're going to take your weapons away. But it's time to have a real conversation. It's time to look at this thing seriously. You know, nobody can say, we used to train, and when I was in the military, one of the main weapon of choice for the Soviet Union during that time period was the AK-47. Why do we need on the streets of America a weapon like that? I mean, how can we justify that? I don't know of anybody out there hunting with this type of a weapon. And it has to be scary for law enforcement to have to come up against this type of firepower. I don't really think people understand the type of firepower that you can bring down with one of these types of weapons.
Yeah,
actually, if you know the power, Tony, it's really scary.
Oh, I do. And you're right. Kevin, we've got to take a break for the top. Thank you for calling back. Great, great, great call today. I really appreciate it. And Kevin couldn't be more right. Ask a police officer how scary it is to go out on the streets, especially in an area where you know that there are a ton of illegal guns that could cut them down. Your police are not equipped to deal with this, nor should they be. We need to eliminate a lot of the laws that protect the insane in this country. A quick break for the top of the hour. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
When I see the man chilling with his dog at the park, I approach him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Look at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. By then I was feeling good, the man had a beard and a bag full of Billy 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he was to drop his wallet smack dead on the lawn.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Due to an accident, traffic is getting by in the right lane only. M59 eastbound at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Also, crews are still working on clearing up that earlier reported accident, blocking the right shoulder of your off-ramp, I-75 northbound at Mack Ave, exit 52. And in Bloomfield Township, a broken water main has your right two lanes closed, Telegraph Road northbound. between Maple and Cranbrook. My name's Tim, and that's
Xfinity
your total
Internet,
traffic.
Where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio. I'm Dirk Vant. President Obama bringing solace to Newtown at a vigil for the victims of Friday's shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
We gather here in memory of 20 beautiful children and 6 remarkable adults. They lost their lives in a school that could have been any school.
Officials still deciding whether that school will ever reopen its doors. The Connecticut shootings rekindling a debate over gun control. California Democrat Dianne Feinstein.
I'm going to introduce in the Senate, and the same bill will be introduced in the House, a bill to ban assault weapons.
Police say the shooter, 20-year-old Adam Lanza, used a military-style assault rifle for most of the killings. Throughout the country, it's back to school this morning with renewed concerns about safety. Psychologists and social workers will visit schools in Denver. And in New York, schools are posting security officers in lobbies and requiring IDs from all visitors. This is NBC News Radio. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton recovering from a concussion after fainting last week. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says she was suffering from a stomach virus at the time.
That means she will not face the unpleasant duty of testifying before the House and Senate about a much-anticipated Benghazi investigation later this week, a chore now relegated to her top deputies.
Secretary Clinton recovering at home. Will the stalemate over the fiscal cliff turn into the Grinch that stole Christmas? Sales have tailed off after a brisk start to the shopping season. Retailers are concerned that the threat of significant tax hikes in January may well dampen shoppers' holiday spirit. Signs of a fiscal thaw, Speaker John Boehner reportedly opened to higher tax rates for millionaires in exchange for significant cuts in entitlement spending. And The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, did the expected at the box office, conjuring up $84 million as America's top movie. Rise of the Guardians, a distant second at $7 million. I'm Dirk Vann, NBC News Radio.
This holiday, get the floors you want by giving the tools they need at Lumber Liquidators. Get big coupon savings, including 20% off all Dream Home laminates, 10% off engineered and hand-scraped hardwood, and 5% off solid hardwood. Plus, save up to 85% on flooring tools and accessories. Better yet, get special extended financing and save on even more unheard-of deals only at your local store. Hurry, sale ends Monday, so visit LumberLiquidators.com or get to your local store before it's too late.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree. And the bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Despite word over the weekend of potential progress in fiscal cliff negotiations, we see our stock futures holding on both sides of flat ahead of the last full market week of 2012. Next week, of course, includes Christmas. S&P futures right now gaining 3 points. Dow futures up 18. NASDAQ futures, though, losing 7. Are diamonds sold at Zales the brightest? That's the question at the center of a legal case. An Ohio judge today will hear claims by Zale rival Sterling, owned by the same company as Kay and Jared, that Zales Celebration Fire diamonds mislead the public when advertised as the most brilliant diamonds in the world. This happens a lot. A company agrees to sell itself to another company, then cancels the agreement when someone else makes a better offer. But this is not typical. New York Times reports Instagram had agreed verbally to sell itself to Twitter for just over $500 million back in March. But weeks later, it accepted an offer for double that, $1 billion, from Facebook. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Do you snore? Do you share a room with someone whose snoring keeps you up at night? Finally, for the first time ever, you can put a stop to snoring instantly with Snore Break. Snorebreak is not a nose or mouthpiece. It's not a drug. And it's not a procedure. Snorebreak is a patented liner that goes beneath the pillowcase and reduces snoring from the very first night. The secret is a fusion of natural extracts that dramatically improve breathing. Snorebreak is comfortable, easy, and virtually undetectable. Snorebreak works, and right now we're sending risk-free trials to listeners in your area. Just call 800-510-5143. Don't suffer one more sleepless night. Whether it's light snoring or heavy snoring, Snorebreak will help put a stop to it the very first night. Hurry and take part in this limited-time risk-free trial. Just call 800-510-5143. That's 800-510-5143. Call 800-510-5143.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the Project Loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas can only take you so far. While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate can go a little farther. When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
In Michigan, you have to be stronger and work harder. Michiganders rise to any challenge, and you can see the hard-working activism coming into fruition as our state surges back to life as a monument to progress. Michigan understands that activism isn't just hard work, it is a lifestyle, and life won't wait. The early bird gets the worm, and it's time to get to work. It's time to punch in for your First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 17th day of December 2012. I promise we will get back to Newtown, Connecticut later on in the show. I am overwhelmed by emails right now. How many of you are paying attention is a wonderful thing, and certainly we don't want to over-politicize what happened there, but politics is part of this answer. It is part of the answer, and we'll talk about that in greater detail a little bit later on as we have time. But let me turn my attention now to kind of a Monday morning quarterbacking, if you will, of the lame duck session of the state House and Senate over the last, we'll call it 2 weeks. And certainly somebody that has a unique perspective on that is my next guest. Joining us now is the Lansing Bureau Chief from the Detroit Free Press, Paul Egan. And Paul, first of all, let me welcome you to First Shift and happy holidays to you.
Good morning, Tony. Same to you.
What an interesting couple of weeks. And I have to say that as a journalist, as you watch all of this unfold, as we saw really an uncommon boldness in this legislature over the last 2 years, Paul, as somebody that does this for a living, I guess we can be more specific to last week, but even the week before that, have you ever seen a lame duck session quite like this one?
It was pretty extraordinary, Tony, and I've talked to people who have been around Lansing a lot longer than I have who said that they'd never seen one quite like it. I think the figure we got from the administration was that there were 282 bills passed during the lame duck session, which is quite a large number.
Well, then as we take a look, and certainly we're going to, the big one for a lot of people is right to work, but that is not the only big issue that certainly made its way through the legislature last week, and the flurry of activity, Paul Egan, as those of us that are watching this on a daily basis, and at last week on an hourly basis, it seemed to me, especially as we turn to House Bill 5711, what that does to women and choice and access to needed health care. When people find out, you know, as they get more educated, that there literally are, you know, a couple dozen counties in the state of Michigan that don't have an OBGYN, and how 5711 even further restricts women from that kind of access. You know, Paul, you begin to wonder where the legislative priorities are and who they're actually serving, because it doesn't seem that the constituency is on board with this legislature right now.
Well, one of the things that you may be seeing at work here is partly a result of term limits, and that lawmakers get elected for a relatively short term. Each may have their own particular issue there that they want to, you know, their mark that they want to leave, and it's very common for, you know, all lawmakers to want to leave their name on a bill that's passed into law, and I think that's some of what you're seeing in terms of the amount of legislation that's trying to get through, and the fact that you know, and I'm not picking out any particular bills, but you may see some legislation get through that doesn't necessarily reflect the view of constituents.
Well, that is very true. It's interesting that you bring up term limits. I have been anti-term limits since they were passed into law some years back. Paul, I look at the polling on term limits, then I would be really interested to see if they were to poll it now, because as you know, it doesn't poll well. People still seem to like term limits. I would wonder if after what's happened over the last 2 weeks, that moves the needle in the other direction a little bit.
That might be interesting. We had a fairly recent poll on term limits where we asked the question a little bit differently, whether people felt that it had improved government or worsened government in Michigan, and it was still slightly in favor. People still slightly in favor of feeling that it improved government, but the numbers actually were much closer than some of the historical numbers we've seen when people were polled just, you know, term limits, yes or no.
Now, let me, by extension, carry this out to a phrase that you will be ultimately very familiar with, which is institutional memory. When the lobbyists have more institutional memory than the legislature itself, when the lobbyists can come into a senator or rep's office and educate them on what happened 12 years ago, and, of course, you as the elected representative of that particular district sits there and get your education from someone that makes a whole lot more money than you do. You would have to think, Paul Egan, that changes the process a little bit.
I've had a number of state lawmakers that went through term limits tell me that they were very reliant on the lobbyists, and that you know, they basically relied on them for a lot of the information that came into their decision making. Interestingly, lobbyists in Lansing will tell you they hate term limits because every 6 years, they have a whole new set of lawmakers that they have to spend a lot of time getting to know and building relationships, whereas previously they could establish these long-term relationships, particularly with committee chairmen and chairwomen. And so it's interesting in that it does seem to have shifted power to the lobbyists, but the lobbyists themselves say they don't like it.
Well, understandably, I'm going to get to some specific laws or bills that were passed that the governor is still sitting on the governor's desk. But let me, for a moment, switch gears here and talk about the literal cost of this legislation that was passed. And in an article titled "Michigan Could Face Budget Deficit with Lame Duck Session Decisions," that's a story that's not getting more traction than it deserves. I find ourselves really facing a significant budget deficit based on the laws that the Republican legislature passed. These are supposed to be, you know, conservatives, smaller government, bring down deficits, et cetera, et cetera. And what we have seen this Republican legislature do is turn that on its head.
Well, it is a situation where Michigan was widely credited in 2011 with, you know, making some hard decisions, whether you agreed with them or not, such as the increased pension tax that put the state in a better fiscal situation going forward. However, if once you reach a stronger financial situation, if you immediately continue cutting taxes too much, it can certainly And that's the warnings that were being sent out last week by the House Fiscal Agency, the Senate Appropriations Chair. And Tony, I got to say, it's not just Republicans. One of the particular bills that Senator Kahn, the Chair of Appropriations, was concerned about, it passed the Senate on a 37-1 vote, with him casting the only dissenting vote. So, Democrats are I'm sure partly because their constituents like tax cuts are often very happy to vote for tax cuts as well.
Well, you're right, and it is fair to place some of this on Democrats as well. Any of us again that are paying attention that understand how this stuff works, how it moves forward. You're right. There is some culpability to be spread around on this. Ultimately, though, and there are some good things. The Regional Transit Authority, Paul, the conversation we've been having way too long, and if certainly we can see this manifest and come to fruition, well, that ultimately is a good thing for everybody in the state of Michigan.
Particularly in Southeast Michigan, it's really it's been one of the governor's big issues, and it's one of those issues where perhaps it's one that the legislature can handle maybe by default, because there's been so much difficulty getting an agreement among the counties that are directly involved, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, and Washtenaw is now included as well. But it seems like a case where if a local decision can't be made, that sometimes you have to rely on the legislature to come in and try to get something that works.
Well, and it's important to remember, although Washtenaw might be a reluctant participant, as you know all too well, Paulie, and it seems that is if we can find a way to strengthen what's happening in Southeast Michigan, certainly that does benefit exponentially everybody in the state. We need to find a way to... And we are seeing some movement in the city of Detroit, as you know, Paul. Things are looking up in some regards, and of course are looking absolutely horrid in other regards. And if we can ever get those two paths to cross and at some kind of intelligent way, we might actually see real dynamic progress. But we've got to be careful that we continue to have a dialogue. My concern is the divisiveness that these last 2 weeks have created. I mean, it was there to begin with. Now it's stronger than ever. And as I'm sure you're aware, the Democratic leader-elect Tim Grimmel has said that he plans to put a halt to any kind of legislation the Republicans want. This is not the kind of dialogue that moves us forward.
It's as divisive as it's ever been. You're absolutely right about that, Tony. And it remains to be seen how long this is going to continue, or whether it's even going to escalate.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And actually, Paul, can I ask you to stay with us a little longer, because we're up against a break? I've got a few more questions for you.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're not quite there yet, but I will say this, folks, and I want you to pay attention. First of all, Paul Egan is my guest. He is the Lansing Bureau Chief, for a reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Understand, moving forward, governor's got a lot of stuff on his desk that hasn't been signed yet. One of those is that legislation that opens up access for people to carry guns. And after what happened Friday in Newtown, Connecticut, will he sign that legislation? We got a lot to get to. Folks, stay where you're at. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truffiano. The number, as always, 888-552-3595. We'll be back with Paul Egan right after this.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Due to an accident on M59 eastbound at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, traffic is only getting through in the right lane. 5 cars are involved in that accident. We also have slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. And due to a broken water main in Bloomfield Township, the right 2 lanes are closed at Telegraph Road between Maple Road and Cranbrook. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, Diggity Doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, welcome back. Paul Egan is my guest. He is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Detroit Free Press. And you know, there are lots of stuff, lots of pieces of legislation sitting on the governor's desk that are either awaiting a signature or a veto. One of those we should certainly, Paul Egan, talk about is this ability to carry in churches and schools. And as I'm sure you heard, Ari Adler, who is the communications director for Jay Spolger, who is the Speaker of the House, posted what most consider to be a rather inappropriate piece on their Facebook page that he did end up taking down, and it was a couple hours after what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. Obviously, now a lot of people are watching to see what Governor Snyder will do with this piece of legislation. I'm not asking you to predict because you're not in the predicting business, Paul Egan, but this really does create a little bit of a dilemma for the governor.
Right, and he, you know, he's actually said that that he's going to give these bills a hard look. It seems that, you know, this tragedy it's affected all of us. It's given him some pause with this legislation. It's a very difficult and complex issue, and I don't pretend to have the answer to it, but it does, you know, it was interesting the comment the president made last night that basically said, you know, are we prepared to accept that tragedies like this are the price of our freedom. And it does seem that there has to be something that society can come up with that makes these types of events much more likely while still obviously respecting the Constitution and the Second Amendment.
Well, we had a gentleman call at the end of the last hour, and he's a former military member. His job was to take care of, literally maintain all of the weaponry within his unit. It dealt with some very complex weaponry, and he said a lot of the stuff that is currently legal for sale does not belong in somebody's personal arsenal. There would be absolutely no reason to have an AK-47 or a semi-automatic gun or, you know, a magazine that holds 30 rounds. And he makes a profoundly important point. And as you know, Paul, as the president said yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, we have to stop politicizing this and have a real discussion. This can no longer be about the NRA's influence. It can't be about making everything about the Second Amendment. Paul, I'm very much in favor of the Second Amendment. I am not in favor of an average citizen carrying around a semi-automatic weapon. And I think that we can do something about this.
I hear you, Tony. Absolutely.
All right. Well, some of the other things, I mean, you know, we can certainly take about, you know, we can talk about the Detroit Lighting Authority. And although there was some controversy, there were some bigger fish to fry in this batch of legislation that passed. We just had an election on November 6th. We said no to Public Act 4, and then we turn around at the governor's request and pass a new emergency manager law. That has a lot of activists and non-activists very concerned that, again, this governor and this legislature are not paying attention to the will of the people.
That's a very controversial piece of legislation. One of the most contentious pieces of Public Act 4 was the fact that it gave emergency managers, under certain circumstances, the power to unilaterally amend or scrap collective bargaining agreements. That feature is in this new piece of legislation. So, you know, one might argue, well, isn't this what the voters just rejected? What the Republicans say in response to that is that this is different because communities are given an option of basically four choices of what route they want to go, one being a consent agreement, one being mediation, an emergency manager, or Chapter 9 bankruptcy. And so they believe on that basis that this new piece of legislation can be defended. Ultimately, Tony, like so many things in Michigan, this is ultimately going to be decided in the courts, most likely.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's true. For the sake of time, let's move on to what is becoming another huge controversy, especially amongst municipalities that have really relied financially on the personal property tax. And the quote-unquote fix, Paul Egan, may not be a fix at all. And in fact, we know that there are still some things that need to be worked out. And that last-minute negotiating, and I know you were following it, you know, it was in, it was out, it was changed again. I don't know that anybody's terribly happy with it, but I know municipalities, especially, you know, those that rely on these PPT funds for schools, police, and fire, are beside themselves right now.
They are. They're very concerned, although, and you know, there were so many last-minute machinations going on this legislation. The Michigan Municipal League, the counties, and the townships did ultimately shift back to neutral before the final version was passed. And that was on the basis, even though they're not guaranteed 100%, it's closer to 80% for most types of expenditures. What the change that was made was that unless voters in 2014 approve this funding mechanism for the replacement revenue, the personal property tax will not be phased out. So they did get a link between the replacement revenue and the tax cut going ahead, and that was one of the major things they were looking for. But certainly there's a lot of concerns that hits some municipalities more than others, so some are concerned more than others, and it remains a very live issue.
Yes, it does, and you're right, it will end up in the courts. Just for the sake of time, certainly we have to mention, and I didn't see this coming, and maybe you did, but I didn't, the elections and recalls changes. that seemed to seemingly came from nowhere, which favor, of course, the Republican Party at this point, because, well, right now the electorate's mad at them. If it were the Democrats, then it would be them. But for all intents and purposes for our discussion, where did this come from? I didn't see this coming. Did you?
Well, some of this legislation, it and I haven't reported on this piece as much in detail as I have on some of the others, but you know, certainly legislation that would restrict recalls to one per lawmaker per term, that had certainly been in the works. One of the changes that came late that we certainly hadn't seen before was to lessen the period for collecting signatures from 90 days to 60 days. And, you know, some are saying that that's going to be make it much more difficult to recall a lawmaker. It was interesting, the timing in the context that a lot of this legislation was being passed that was getting people upset at lawmakers at the same time they were making it more difficult to recall themselves.
Now, you know, somebody had called me on Friday and said, you know, I just get the impression that the legislature said, well, they're already pissed off at us. Let's just start keep throwing stuff in there, see what happens. Paul, I know one thing for sure. You're going to have a very interesting 2013, and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Tony.
I appreciate it. Paul Egan, once again, the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Detroit Free Press. Yeah, listen, if you're a reporter in Lansing and that's your beat, like Paul, like Susan Demas and others, my oh my, you don't have to wonder what you're going to be doing the next day. Enjoy the break while you can. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the food desert. What is it? We'll tell you. Is it a problem? You betcha. Is there something that can be done about it? Well, that's the big question. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
...1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Due to an accident on M59 eastbound at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, traffic is only getting through in the right lane. 5 cars are involved in that accident. We also have slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. And due to a broken water main in Bloomfield Township, the right 2 lanes are closed at Telegraph Road between Maple Road and Cranbrook. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
The Connecticut League of Conservation Voters held its 13th annual environmental summit on December 6th in Hartford, Connecticut. Incineration, the state's main way of handling trash, stirred up controversy with supporters of environmental justice. WIN's Melinda Tuhus reports.
Dan Esty, Commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, or DEEP, began by describing further cuts coming to his department, which already gets only 0.5% of state budget funds.
There are many parts of our waste stream that currently go into what was once a cutting-edge system of waste-to-energy incinerators, but too much goes into those incinerators now that actually has an economic value. So we need to develop a new waste or materials management system that extracts out for reuse, recapture, recycling, much more.
More than two-thirds of Connecticut's garbage is burned in the state's 6 waste-to-energy plants for an annual total of 2.2 million tons in 2010. A total of almost 250,000 additional tons was sent to out-of-state incinerators or landfills. In answer to a question from an audience member, Estes deputy, Mackie McCleary, defended the use of incinerators.
Connecticut is heavily leveraged on waste energy. It is much better to set something on fire and extract BTUs and electricity out of it than to put it in the ground.
During a break, Martha Kelly with the Connecticut Coalition for Environmental Justice described some of the downsides of burning trash.
We are regularly concerned about the toxins that go into the air. The toxins that don't go into the air may well go into the ashes. Hartford has a large ash landfill.
The six plants emit almost 1,300 pounds of hazardous pollutants a year, but none are over the regulatory limit, according to a DEEP enforcement official. Annually, incineration creates over 500,000 tons of toxic ash, including 35,000 tons of metals that are magnetically removed from the ash and recycled. The amount of lead and mercury that remain in the ash is expected to drop as laws restrict the manufacture of products containing these metals and as other programs increase the recycling of these materials. Martha Kelly pointed out another problem with the state's past approach to garbage.
We've relied upon this antiquated system of burning trash to reduce it in volume, rather than actually moving towards recycling by incentivizing consumers to change their habits.
DEEP's Mackie McCleary said the state is moving in that direction.
If we do a good job over the next 5 years, we think we can double or triple our current recycling rate, so the number of tons of things that need to go into our waste-to-energy facilities will decrease.
Workers Independent News, Hartford, Connecticut.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning. Well, of all the problems that are facing us around the country, around the state, and our own communities, amongst them, something that we've actually talked about a great deal. You might want to harken back to, about a year ago or so, and Chris Mihalakis, who is now the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, was at that point the legislative director of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. And he was talking about not just the lack of grocery stores in the city of Detroit and how difficult it was for some people to find fresh produce, fresh goods for that matter, in their neighborhoods or within a reasonable distance of their neighborhoods. Well, if you, by extension, carry that out throughout Southeast Michigan and then beyond, it does bring up an interesting point. Do people have access to affordable food? Do they have access to fresh food? Are they literally starving to death? And although hunger is a big issue, and this is not an easy issue to necessarily dissect, it is a critically important conversation to have. We are turning now, and this caught my eye a couple weeks ago. We just had to keep moving it because what happened in the legislature last week. But we turn our attention now to Dr. Dorsita Taylor. Dr. Taylor is a professor at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. And she's embroiled in a study that is going to take a look at food security and what's called the food desert. And we welcome Dr. Dorsita Taylor to First Shift this morning. Dr. Taylor, happy holidays to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, and the same to you and your staff.
Let me just ask if you could, before we get started into the greater discussion here, define what food security and conversely food insecurity is for the audience.
Well, food security, we can think of it in several dimensions. One of it is how far away does one have to travel to find adequate food, but also affordable food and fresh, healthy food. Another dimension can be thought about in terms of, say, cultural access. So one might have a grocery store close to them, but if the foods that are sold there are not the kinds of food one normally eats at home or one traditionally eats, for instance, if you are an immigrant or if you're coming from another part of the country, or if the food is there but you don't know how to prepare it, that in a way is kind of cultural access.
Well, you know, it's interesting as you heard how I introduced this segment. There are so many different layers to this. You know, there's hunger. I mean, that in and of itself. There's access to fresh food. We know that especially, because I'm a little more familiar with the city of Detroit, there are people that are actually doing their quote unquote grocery shopping at the corner gas station or party store.
Exactly. And so, you know, other dimensions of it can also be cost. So the food could be there, but if you can't afford to buy it, Another part of it is also, can you physically, so you might actually have stores close by, but if there are major highways going through or if there's a lot of crime, that also can affect your access. So when we talk about food security, it's looking at all of those dimensions. Can you get to the store? Does crime prevent you or not? All of those things play into access. And then food insecurity, according to the USDA, they describe it as it could be both hunger, but it could be something like having to cut back on the amount of food you eat so you can stretch your food to meet your food needs. It could be even having to forcibly cut down portion sizes so that everybody in the house can get fed. It could also be skipping meals. So, for instance, kids who are being sent to school without a breakfast or without a lunch, they might live close to a store, but they simply don't have enough food in the house. So food insecurity has to do with then the amount of food a household has and whether or not there's adequate food in the household to meet everyone's basic daily food needs without having to resort to these other measures I just talked about.
Again, my guest is Dr. Dorceta Taylor with the University of Michigan. You know, Dr. Taylor, as we're talking about that months ago, we did a little public service campaign for these this organization called Blessings in a Backpack. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but basically, they have the people, individuals, corporations, whatever, donate backpacks to schools, and then they actually fill those backpacks on Friday afternoon to give to some of their more needy students, so that they go home with food, because many of these kids are only eating at school. They're getting breakfast and lunch at school, and that's all they're getting. And so to send them home on the weekend without any food, knowing that they won't eat, well, this Blessings in a Backpack program comes along. But we're not certainly reaching every child, and we're not coming close to solving a problem. How did we end up here?
That's the million-dollar question. You know, how did all the supermarkets leave many big cities, and how did we not notice? I think part of what our study will try to look at is to try to look at some of those questions. If we look at the state of Michigan, we have thousands of farms. We certainly have enough food to feed everyone in Michigan. So part of the issue then is a distributional issue. Are we shipping all our foods out of the state? Are we letting it rot in the fields? For instance, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they have a program where at the end of the harvesting season, there's always a fair amount of food that's left on the vines after the crop has been harvested. Rather than let it sit there and rot, they're organizing what they call a gleaning at the end and take all that food to soup kitchens, other places where low-income folks can have access to it. But, you know, you ask a very important question that nobody has a quick answer to. And hopefully at the end of our study, we have some ways of identifying what some of those reasons are.
All right. Now, it's my understanding, and if I get this wrong, you'll, of course, correct me, that the study will take place in 18 separate communities. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you'll be looking at those things that we've already discussed, access, safety, et cetera. And on the other side of this, first of all, let me ask this question. How long will this, what's the duration of this study?
It's a 5-year study, and because it's really covering, quite a good portion of Michigan, we're doing several things. So in addition to looking at the distribution of food stores in these 18 cities, ranging from the Upper Peninsula, where we're going to be looking at the Sioux, St. Marie, looking at the Bay Mills Native American community, all the way through southeastern Detroit, where we're looking at several communities there. We'll also be looking at the food retailers themselves, trying to engage them in the conversation to ask, what is preventing them from bringing healthy foods Because you can have a small grocery store. You can have a little gas station. It doesn't mean they can't sell healthy foods at affordable prices. So we'll be doing interviews with those folks to find out what are the barriers. Then we'll also be engaging the farmers. What's preventing you from getting your produce into cities and rural areas that lack fresh foods? We'll also be looking at the policymakers. Again, what are the issues that's preventing food policies in the state from getting food to everyone? So one of the reasons it takes 5 years is the number of different dimensions. Another part we'd be looking at is working with community partners to provide some funding for them to start helping families raise their own food in their home, in their apartment, yards, that sort of stuff.
Well, this sounds absolutely, necessary, but fascinating. And I would think that as this unfolds, as you, of course, are going to be in very disparate parts of the state. Some of them will be highly populated, some of them not so much. And it'll be interesting what kind of common characteristics or traits, what kind of patterns emerge as you go through this study. I would think that this is obviously in search of a solution. You're not doing this just for data's sake, and I want to make that clear.
Yes, we're looking for solutions. We're looking for ways to increase, especially the most vulnerable people in the state, increase their access to food, their access to knowledge about what's going on. So that's actually the driving part of it, is to get at that. One of the reasons we look at so many smaller cities also is most of the studies that have looked at food access tend to focus on the one or two big cities in each of the states, whereas no one really looks at the smaller communities to say what's going on in the neighborhoods and are people having access to food.
Well, this is going to be incredibly important the information, and I'll look forward to following this as it goes forward. Dr. Dorsita Taylor, I want to thank you for being with us and enlightening us this morning on what is truly one of the more solvable problems that we have. Let's hope we get to some solutions. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. A quick break here, folks. Till the top of the hour, we will be open lines. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. First Shift continues right after this.
Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Trupiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. So you had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MSA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, $137 million. But Dillon said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dillon who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. We are open lines till the top of the hour. What do you want to discuss? Do you want to talk about right to work? Do you want to talk about any one of the pieces of heinous legislation that is awaiting the governor's signature? Do you want to talk about what happened in Newtown, Connecticut? Do you want to talk about, well, whatever's on your mind? I'm open to that as we work our way through this Monday morning program. 888-552-3595. I'm only going to do this for a couple of days because I can't imagine doing this every day. But I know not everybody was listening to the end of the show on Friday. Not everybody has access to Facebook and Twitter. If you have not yet heard, Friday will be our last day on air. Clear Channel Radio is shutting down. 1310 WDTW altogether. All of the programming is going away. They're turning off the signal. As of December 31st, I will be live until Friday. We'll run some best ofs next week, but that is that, and so I just wanted to share it with you. Number two, for those of you that continue to write me, please continue to do that. Yes, I am human. Yes, I'm having issues with this. Yes, I need your support. So if you want to send an email, feel free to do that. If you want to give me a call, feel free to do that. If you want to post to Facebook, please feel free to do that. I also want to make sure that you stay connected to us on Facebook as we have news to report, and I'm chasing down lots of different paths right now. That's going to be the best way for you to figure out what's going on. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. We had quite a few likes from Friday to today, and I appreciate that. Folks, I appreciate your support. I truly do. So 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones and welcome my dear friend, Michelle Fox Phillips with Transgender Detroit. Although you've got a new name, Michelle, do you not?
Yes, it's called GINA, Gender Identity Network Alliance. We had our coming out party the day after the Day of Remembrance vigil on Friday. So,
and by the way, thank you for inviting me to that. It was such a beautiful evening, and it was obviously quite somber, understandably. But what a beautiful evening that was, Michelle. Thank you again.
Well, thank you for being part of it. The reason why I'm calling is I heard your announcement on Friday, and I know Clear Channel is cleaning house all over the city. So I'm saddened to hear that you're going to be off the air, but I just wanted to thank you. Thank you with my bottom of my heart for giving the transgender population a voice on radio.
Well, you are welcome, and hopefully sometime over the next couple weeks or months, so, you know, we'll have some good news to share with you. But right now, we've got to take care of what's in front of us, Michelle, and, you know, I've got to get through this week and through the holidays, and I hope to have some good news in the foreseeable future. So we're just gonna, as I'm asking for everybody's thoughts and prayers moving forward, and thank you so much for your friendship, Michelle. You mean a lot to me.
Well, thank you, Tony, but I also want to wish you happy holidays.
And thank you so much, and a happy Hanukkah to you. 888-552-3595. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Merry Christmas to you, Steve. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Merry Christmas, Tony. Actually, I only catch a small segment of your program, and, you know, I try to call in. I just heard word just a little bit ago from you that they are shutting things down, and, you know, you and I don't agree on a lot, some things, but not a lot, but I am... I feel really bad. I still like to listen to you in the morning, and I'm going to miss you, and I wish you well, and I truly mean that, and hopefully we'll hear you pop up again, and I can call in, and we can banter about things down the road somewhere.
Absolutely. So just, Steve, you know I have a lot of respect for you. You and I had a chance to meet in person briefly a year ago this past summer. You're a real mensch. Any friend of Joe Peterson's is a friend of mine.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you. And again, I really do wish you well. And, you know, I hope things turn out well for you, which I'm sure they will. You know, you're a fighter. So, you know, I'll talk to you again somewhere down the road. I can almost guarantee that.
Well, the week's not up yet. I may just hear from you yet again. I'm sure I'm going to discuss something that's going to get your ire. But I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much for the call this morning.
Tony.
Absolutely. 888-552-3595. My mind keeps going back, as it should, of course, this morning to Newtown, Connecticut. There's not the right adjective. It's not unfortunate. That doesn't come close to touching it. It's not tragic, although it is all of that. Doesn't come close to touching it. It is horrific. It's all of those things. Was it preventable? Is anything really preventable? I think you could have the most ironclad laws. If somebody is hell-bent on doing something, I think we've learned throughout our lives, if somebody's really hell-bent on doing something, whether it's good or bad, they find a way to do it. That's not to say that we can't change things, we can't prioritize differently, we can't legislate differently, because we can. We can certainly lessen the likelihood of something happening, and we need to do that. There's no question that's true. This goes back, though, for me, to the issue of mental health. And ultimately, that is what is greatest concern to me, because we have, as a state and as a country, done a horrible disservice to those that need mental health services in this state and in this country. I think for many people, it's a very difficult thing to talk about. I think if you're dealing with mental health issues in your family, it's, I think, quite embarrassing for a lot of people. If you have somebody in your family that is challenged and is perhaps either not seeking help or not following the assistance they're getting, you can't fathom how uncomfortable that is for a family. I think that many of you have no idea what it's like to have somebody in your family that deals with mental health issues, to show up at a holiday gathering when you were secretly hoping and praying they wouldn't show, not knowing from minute to minute if you were going to say or something was going to happen that would set that person off. Those of you that have experienced this know exactly what I'm talking about. And we can't ignore these problems away. That's the toughest part of this, is we can't ignore them away. But we do, and we have done a horrible disservice. And again, I have to go back to John Engler and what he did to mental health care in the state of Michigan. At one point, folks, in the mid-80s, Governor Engler basically dumped the mental health community on everybody, taking the responsibility totally away from the state and placing it on communities. I mean, literally in one day, people that had been hospitalized were literally let out on the streets. And I'm not saying that that was some kind of helter-skelter thing, But these were people that were defenseless. A lot of those that were mentally ill, that were in hospitals, went out and committed crimes because they needed an institution to take care of them. Wow. I don't remember what the statistics are, but it's significant, the number of mentally ill people in the penal system right now. It's astronomical. We need solutions, and it's not just about gun control. All right, Mark Brewer on the other side when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
Here comes Santa Claus. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Taking a look at your roads, the good news is there's no accidents to report at this time. However, we do have slow-moving traffic, I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and 8 Mile Road. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-94 westbound between Morose Road and I-75. And you also see backups, I-96 eastbound between Milford Road and Beck Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
You love that one-of-a-kind taste of honey-baked ham. But have you tasted our turkey breast? With a new recipe and the sweet, crunchy glaze you love, our honey-baked turkey breast could be the beginning of a brand new holiday tradition. For coupons and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Vance. Sadness and determination this morning as Newtown, Connecticut braces for the first funerals for victims of the school shooting that left 20 children and 6 adults dead. NBC's Lester Holt.
People here have found ways to express their profound sadness, adding to a memorial near the school that grows by the hour. Christmas trees now line the route to the memorial. One tree for each child who died.
President Obama last night vowing to do whatever he can to safeguard the nation's children.
We honestly say that we're doing enough to keep our children, all of them, safe from harm. I've been reflecting on this the last few days, and if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no.
Police say 20-year-old Adam Lanza killed his mother at her home before taking an assault rifle and two handguns to Sandy Hook Elementary. The massacre, a flashpoint in the debate over gun control. This is NBC News Radio. Signs of a thaw on those chilly fiscal cliff budget talks after weeks of stalemate. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell on Capitol Hill.
Now, the big breakthrough came when Speaker Boehner offered to raise income tax rates on the highest earners. He set the income at $1 million. The president would like to see it at $250,000 for families, so room still to negotiate there.
Leader Boehner still seeking deeper spending cuts than the president has proposed. iPads, iPhones, and Macs are flying off the shelves, but at the same time, Apple stock is in free fall, down another 4% to $510 a share. That's a nearly 30% drop from the all-time high in September. And good news, the world is not going to end Friday. After all, anthropologists say the idea of an apocalypse foretold by the ancient Mayans is a mistranslation, and that the end of the Mayan calendar on December 21st isn't the end, but rather the beginning of a new Mayan century. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dave Davis here with the Channel 5 traffic report. You're on your own, commuters. I've got shopping to do. Drop her over there, Nick, at the mall.
Prep your car for holiday travel and check gifts off your list today at Sears Auto Center. Come in now and get a $21.99 conventional oil change plus a $5 coupon to shop while you wait. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons.
Valid for most vehicles, regularly $29.99. Coupon valid through 12/29. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
When it comes to the cable TV business, there's a lot of talk about the news channels, but there should be more talk about sports. Wall Street firm Sanford Bernstein recently valued ESPN, which includes, of course, more than one channel, as a $42 billion property. That fact has not been lost on other media companies. Recently, Comcast rebranded its low-rated Versus channel, the NBC Sports Network, and now Fox, according to the Wall Street Journal, will rebrand its Speed Network, Fox Sports One. A potential breakthrough, or at least a little progress, in fiscal cliff negotiations over the weekend as House Speaker Boehner signals some openness to higher taxes on the highest earners. But that is not lighting up Wall Street, at least not yet. S&P futures right now gaining 2 points, Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures, though, losing 4. European markets mostly are lower today, following a landslide election putting liberal democracy leaders back in power in Japan. That nation's stock index rallied about 1%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Do you snore? Do you share a room with someone whose snoring keeps you up at night? Finally, for the first time ever, you can put a stop to snoring instantly with SnoreBreak. SnoreBreak is not a nose or mouthpiece. It's not a drug, and it's not a procedure. SnoreBreak is a patented liner that goes beneath the pillowcase and reduces snoring from the very first night. The secret is a fusion of natural extracts that dramatically improve breathing. SnoreBreak is comfortable, easy, and virtually undetectable. SnoreBreak works, and right now we're sending risk-free trials to listeners in your area. Just call 800-510-5143. Don't suffer one more sleepless night. Whether it's light snoring or heavy snoring, SnoreBreak will help put a stop to it the very first night. Hurry and take part in this limited-time, risk-free trial. Just call 800-510-5143. That's 800-510-5143. Call 800-510-5143.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the Project Loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas can only take you so far. While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate can go a little farther. When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Progress means moving forward, bringing not merely change, but true reform. It calls for modern ideas for a modern world and policies that benefit all people. Progress is hard work for true advocates who never back down. Activists who wake up with their shoes on to hit the ground running. Are you ready to create change? Are you ready to create real progress? Michigan, you were born ready. It's time to put in great work. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the 17th day of December 2012. And after the last 2 weeks, you've got to bet the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party has a lot on his mind. And we're going to find out in just a moment what's there. And, folks, I'm going to tell you. He's got a lot to say. I'll just put it like that. If you want to join us at any time throughout the program today, 888-552-3595. In the meantime, give me an intro and let's get this going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
But there was some hope at the beginning of the year that Snyder was a moderate. But in fact, he has proposed and signed legislation that John Engler never even considered when he was governor 10 years ago. He does it with a smile, but believe me, the quality of government here is far worse.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And we welcome back the chairman himself, Mark Brewer. Captain, my captain, a happy Monday, well, maybe a not-so-happy Monday morning to you.
It's a mixed Monday, Tony. I mean, we've got the Electoral College meeting this afternoon, and that's a great thing. We will officially cast Michigan's 16 electoral votes for Barack Obama, who, it turns out, I don't know if you saw the press stories over the weekend, ended up winning in the neighborhood of 4 or 5% nationally, which is pretty rare for a president to win twice by that kind of margin. So we're very, very happy about that. President did a wonderful job last night in Connecticut. So there are good things to celebrate, but obviously the fallout from lame duck or something we're very, very concerned about.
Absolutely. But, Mark, before we get to the lame duck, I want to play some audio right now from a guy named Ron Weiser. Now, the audience may not be terribly familiar with who he is, but he is a former chairman of the Michigan GOP. He is a former ambassador and now the chief fundraiser for the Republican Party. But let's listen to what he had to say just this past August in Milford, Michigan, at a Tea Party rally.
If Obama loses Michigan, his paths to the White House reduce substantially. It's very hard to see a path for him to the White House again. If we lose Virginia or Ohio, it saves us the election, and we will still win. That's how important Michigan is. Now, I'm going to tell you my own theories in Michigan, because it's one of the reasons the RNC is spending as much money as they are here, and why you will see some of our friends spending money here, because I talk to them all the time. Oh, they call me because I was the chairman. I understand what's going on. I think there's two things that make a huge difference. Number one is a very fundamental thing. Did any Democrats miss you? It's a very fundamental thing. We have always had to overcome, to win the governorship or the presidency, a margin that used to be bigger, but in recent years it's been about 350,000 votes out of Wayne County. And then if we could keep it even in Oakland County or win by a little bit, we'd have to overcome them in the rest of the state. Well, let's look at Wayne County. Two big groups. The first one's Detroit. Population's now shrunk under 700,000. Last presidential election was probably about 800, 850 less voters. Secondly, no Coleman Young machine. No Kwame Kilpatrick machine. There is no Dave Bing machine. There's no machine to go to the pool halls and the barbershops and put those people on buses and then bus them from precinct to precinct where they vote multiple times. And there's no machine to get them to stop playing pool and drinking beer in the pool. And it does make a difference. Now let's go outcome. No McNamara machine. If there's a gun machine, it hasn't got a nickel. Or it's under indictment, one or the other. So I believe, and I've told these people this, that I don't know how many votes less they'll have. Is it 60,000, 50,000, 80,000? There's going to be less of a margin to have to beat out of Wayne County than we've ever had before. So that's one side.
All right, guys, you can stop it there. All right, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to turn it over to you. I posted this to Facebook on the weekend, and my followers were not terribly happy with what Mr. Weiser had to say.
Oh, no, I mean, this is just outrageous, Tony, on so many levels. I mean, again, let's make sure that your listeners understand exactly who Ron Weiser is. Not only a former chair of the Michigan Republican Party, he is the national finance chair of the Republican Party. He was responsible for the hundreds of millions of dollars that was raised to try to win the White House for Romney. He's a millionaire corporate CEO here in Michigan. He lives in Ann Arbor. And he was a very big backer of the right to work effort, as he talks about later in that videotape and another excerpt we have already put out there. He was part of this multi-year, long-term effort to bring right to work to Michigan. So in this part of the tape, where he's talking and pandering, frankly, to these Tea Party types, this is when he was running for the University of Michigan Regent, he indulges in the most racist stereotypes that you can imagine. You wouldn't think in the 21st century, Tony, you'd have people talking like this, but you learn more about people by listening to them in what they think is a private setting than what they say publicly. I mean, he uses the phrase, these people, And we know what that's code word for. That's code word for African-Americans. He talks about how Detroiters hang out in the pool halls and the barber shops. Again, stereotyping Detroit voters. And this idea that there's rampant voter fraud, that somehow Detroit voters get bussed from precinct to precinct. Even Terry Land, former Republican Secretary of State yesterday, said that's not true. There is no evidence of that kind of conduct. So, I mean, to have a national Republican official in saying these kind of things and believing them, and then, you know, adding to the racial tensions we have here in Michigan on a regional basis as well, I mean, this is so offensive, so wrong, that I've been calling on Governor Snyder, current Republican Chair Bobby Shostak, and other Republican leaders to condemn Ron Weiser. You can't have somebody in this position saying and believing these kinds of things. I mean, Tony, finally, it's no wonder that the Republican Party has absolutely no attraction to minority voters when its top leaders say and believe these kinds of things.
Well, you know, Mark, this is really offensive on multiple levels. But what really bothers me about this is, and people need to take a step back. We've had two very distinct conversations. We just had a conversation about the Electoral College meeting all over the country today in the state of Michigan to officially coronate, if you will, the president and vice president, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. The second conversation we're having is about Republican rule. Here's the interesting thing, Mark, and the conversation I believe you and I need to have. How is it that at a national level, how is it that even in the state of Michigan, where the president lives, wins by 9.5 percentage points, are the Republicans still controlling so much of the agenda? And Mark, this has to lead me to just three simple words. Follow the money.
No, that's absolutely right. Overnight, Tony, there was a New York Times article that came out. They conducted an investigation. I talked to them. We gave them the Weiser videotape, the videotape about his work on Right to Work. And it's very clear that an enormous amount of corporate Republican money, not just from Michigan through Ron Weiser and Dick DeVos, but even nationally, has been put into Michigan over the last several years as part of this Right to Work effort. So they basically bought that, and they've spent an enormous amount of money electing Snyder. And this article and other articles like it talk about the money laundering that went on, moving money around the country to bring in, to elect corporate CEO like Snyder, the money that's been spent buying basically a Republican legislature that rammed this thing through, as well as many other bad things in the last couple of weeks. So you're absolutely right, Tony. You follow the money, money raised by people like Ron Weiser and Dick DeVos, who are not our friends, who have these racist attitudes, who've done everything they can to ship jobs out of Michigan, to hurt working people in Michigan, and you see that this Right to Work effort is just the latest piece in the corporate attack on working people and organized labor, not just here in Michigan, but nationally.
Well, you said something now a couple times that is really resonating with me, and that's hurting working people of Michigan. Right to Work profoundly does that. But policies do that as well, Mark. The Earned Income Tax Credit. You know, we could just focus on that and have great traction, where the people that are in greatest need of a tax break end up getting hosed by a Republican Party that claims to be compassionate and caring. Again, follow the money, Mark.
Oh, that's right, Tony. I mean, I think now with the abolition of the personal property tax last week, we've seen on the order of at least $3 billion on an annual basis of corporate tax cuts without a single job to show for them. Now, who's paid for that? You and I, the working people, the school kids of Michigan, because what's happened? We had $1 billion cut out of public education on an annual basis in the governor's budget 2 years ago, and that's continuing. There's been no recapture of that money. We've seen drastic cuts to aid to counties and cities, which have also hurt, you know, police and fire services and those basic fundamental services. And this PPP cut is just going to add to that as well.
No
all
question.
Of it,
Mark, we got
to pay a gift over.
Absolutely. We got to get to the break. When we come back, 92 seconds of audio that is going to set Mark Brewer in motion. When we come back, Governor Snyder on Flashpoint yesterday. Stay with us.
And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone.
Hi, this is Susan Gimas with Murray's News Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
The good news is there's no accidents to report at this time. However, we do have slow-moving traffic. I-96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. Also, slow-moving traffic. I-94 westbound between Morose and I-75. And you can expect some backups. I-94 eastbound between West Grand Boulevard and Linwood Street. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
I guess my first question, I don't think there's any point in debating right to work necessarily as policy. Where it's now the law. But a lot of people are concerned that they're not sure that we got to have the debate about the policy. That's kind of the point. It all came through so quickly that it was never really debated as whether it was sound government.
Well, there was a lot of discussion on right to work in Michigan. If you go back, Devin, this has been a topic for years in our state. One illustration is West Michigan Policy Forum, a very broad-based group, in 2010 had it as their number one issue that they wanted to move forward with. And if you look over the last few weeks, everyone knew right to work was on the topic since the election. And so I view it as there were clearly opportunities for every Michigander to contact a legislator to share how they felt, and you saw it publicly in terms of people turning out to show how they felt.
Well, no doubt.
So there was a large opportunity for public discussion.
You've pointed out this past week a couple of times that clearly you felt some pressure or an example at least set by what Indiana did. Others, in fact, Bob Picano wrote a column this past week that said Indiana's success is as wrapped up in its tax credits as it is in right to work, which is something you don't agree with and don't approve of.
Yeah, but if you look, the big variable, the big change in Indiana was right to work. And if you talk to the companies that have actually now said they're coming to Indiana, they made it clear that that change was the deciding factor that moved them to look at Indiana seriously. They weren't on the radar before. And so there's 31 companies that are bringing several thousand jobs to Indiana since February that cited right to work as a key factor.
All right, Mark Brewer, besides it all being lies, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many lies here, Tony. It's hard to know where to begin. There was no public discussion of these bills. These bills were introduced directly to the floor of the legislature without committee hearings. We had many, many legislators voted on this and said, I didn't even read the bill. I was voting for this because Dick DeVos and Ron Weiser, the Chamber of Commerce, Governor Snyder, told me I had to, or I would face a primary. They would come get me if I didn't do this. The Capitol building itself, in an illegal act, was closed for the first set of votes on these bills. People couldn't get even into the Capitol to have access to the legislators, and then they ran out of town as quick as they could. So for the governor to say that there was public discussion of these bills is just an out-and-out lie, because they know that had there been public discussion and a chance for folks to see what these bills would do to collective bargaining, they would not have passed. That's why it was done, you know, in such a secretive fashion, such a rushed fashion, because they knew these bills couldn't stand the light of day.
Mark Brewer, he also referenced as what he called a broad-based group, the West Michigan Policy Forum. Perhaps Governor Snyder doesn't realize that there are actually people that can read. And when we read what they're all about, they are anything but broad-based.
No, that's just a front group for corporate CEOs like Dick DeVos and Peter Secchia, longtime Republican donor in the state. He was appointed ambassador by George Bush. It's nothing more than a front group. And to their credit, Tony, there were business groups in the state that were at least neutral on this. The Detroit Chamber of Commerce, even business leaders for Michigan stayed neutral at least. And there are other business groups that said, we don't want this. We're not going down this path. Now, were there any that were courageous enough to actually oppose it? I'm sad to say I'm not aware of any. But there wasn't even a consensus, a unanimous agreement in the business community to do this, because people knew how destructive this would be of labor relations in this state. So for him to say that somehow there was agreement to do this is just, I mean, it's a lie. It's nonsense. These bills never saw the light of day until the very last minute to rush them through. There was no consensus behind this legislation.
Well, and Mark, as we pointed out on this show last Thursday and Friday, the Economics Policy Institute came out with factual information that Indiana has not, nor will they see any kind of benefit to right to work. And the only reason for that is, it hasn't even been in place for a year. The companies that are supposedly being quoted as bringing in new jobs have already been in Indiana, and these are not companies that are moving in, Mark. So nothing but a series of lies.
Yeah, and that just confirms what other studies have shown, Tony. I mean, what's going on here? This is a desperate last-minute power grab. The Republicans are about to lose their opportunity to do this. These corporate CEOs are pushing this stuff through. And, you know, what kind of got lost the past week was that there was a new analysis of Michigan and all the other states in terms of their receptivity to business by Forbes magazine, and Michigan moved down the list, Tony, despite all of these corporate tax cuts, all of these things that the governor and the Republicans and the legislature have done allegedly to make this place better for business. Forbes downranked us. We dropped in the rankings. So they are desperate, not only for political and ideological reasons, but, you know, just to show that the governor's doing something so that he can go out and talk the happy talk about what he's doing for the business climate in this state. This right-to-work legislation is going to divide this state for at least the next 2 years, and I think if unless it's repealed for long after that. This is such short-term thinking, and it's going to be so counterproductive. He's going to rue the day he signed this legislation.
I certainly believe that. Now, there is some legislation that's sitting on his desk that has yet to be signed. One of those is the anti-choice legislation that will be devastating to women who desperately need access to health care. This isn't about abortion, Mark. It's about access to basic health care.
No, Tony, and what's going on here? Brian Dickerson spoke very eloquently in his column in the Free Press yesterday about this. This governor is not just a corporate CEO. He's such an accountant. All he thinks about, apparently, are ways, wrong-headed ways, that he thinks to do economic development. But Michigan is becoming a laughingstock nationally. We are being made fun of because of the hostility towards stem cell research, the hostility toward women's rights, Vaginagate last summer, the way women on the floor of the House were told, you can't speak about this. This anti-choice legislation, which will make us one of the worst state in the country for women's rights. There's other legislation in the queue. And young people and others who are looking around the country, where do I want to work? Where do I want to go and raise a family? Where do I want to live? Are seeing Michigan moving backwards as just, you know, in the control of these right-wing social conservatives who are anti-choice, anti-women, anti-stem cell, want to tear apart public education. And whatever the governor thinks he's doing on the positive front with job creation is being undermined by all of this conservative social legislation, which is going to keep people out of Michigan. Nobody's going to want to come live in a state that has this kind of backwards, antiquated social policies.
Well, we will continue to watch it, and of course, leading us to 2013, a lot to go. Mark, as you well know, this show will be going off the air at the end of this week. And until we find a new home, and I promise you I will find you and get you back, I want to thank you for the last year and a half in the service to this audience.
Well, Tony, thank you for your service, for your voice. You have been made a huge contribution to the public policy debate in this state, and I hope and will do everything I can to help make sure you're back on the air as soon as possible. Thank you, Tony, for everything you've done.
Well, I appreciate that. Once again, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Don't forget, they need your support as well. Go to MichiganDems.com. A quick break, Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan.com, and our blog roll segment right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
The good news is there's no accidents to report this time. However, we do have slow-moving traffic I-96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Road. Also, slow-moving traffic I-94 westbound between Morose and I-75. And you can expect some backups I-94 eastbound between West Grand Boulevard and Linwood Street. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch cards to anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work. including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Michigan is no longer a state. It is now Michiganistan, an autocratic czardom in the hands of Emperor Rick Snyder. Formerly the Republican governor, he's now been enthroned by the GOP's lame duck legislative supermajority to rule with an iron fist. Democracy, rule of law, fairness, and the people be damned. Ironically, voters had given Snyder and his cohort of right-wing corporate ideologues a spanking for this kind of nastiness in a November referendum. The GOP cabal in Lansing had conspired last year to usurp the local authority of city governments and allow Snyder to send in unelected, unaccountable autocrats to fire elected officials and seize control. But last month, Michigan voters overthrew this absurdity. This month, however, Snyder and gang doubled down on their dumbfounding anti-democratic zealotry. With no warning, no hearings, no public input, no floor debate, and no time for citizens even to know what was happening, the same legislative czarist rammed a union-busting bill into law. Even though he had publicly rejected such a proposal earlier this year as being very divisive, Emperor Snyder gleefully signed this bill. Who's behind this madness? Say hello to two infamous anti-union billionaire plutocrats, the Koch brothers. They had funneled as much as $1 million into Snyder's 2010 gubernatorial election, and three Michigan front groups funded by the billionaire brothers have been aggressively pushing the exact same anti-worker proposal that the Republican thugs just bullied into law. This is Jim Hightower saying, two things not long for this world are dogs that chase cars and politicians who deceive and cheat the people. Already, Michiganders are organizing a petition drive for another referendum to overturn the law and return Michiganistan back to democratic rule.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic, or Asian, or Native American, or young or old, or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here.
On 1310 WDTW.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Tribbiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Before we get to our blog roll segment, and we will do that in just a moment, I first want to take a call. Carol joining us from Oak Park. And good morning to you, Carol. Happy holidays. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Tony. And first of all, I want to say that I'm really sorry to hear that we're going to lose you. That's a great loss to us. So I'm going to miss you, but I'll try to keep in contact in other ways as a peace activist and a labor activist. We need you. First of all, I want to mention the fact that there tonight is a peace vigil of peace groups and labor activists that's kind of happening on the corner of 9 Mile and Woodward in Ferndale. Because of the loss of so many of our children and the assault on workers, we feel it's important to be out there tonight. So I wanted to make sure that you knew about that and your listeners knew about that. So please, for them to come out and join us with any signs they want in regards to this horrible right to work legislation that has been passed. And the fear, of course, of the insane bill that both the House and the Senate has put on the table for Snyder to even think about passing, about gun law, to go into schools, elementary schools, kindergarten schools, churches. We have to understand, or we have to question, what is in the minds of these people that would even consider doing something like this?
And profoundly a great question. Carol, what time is the vigil?
I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. It is from 4 to 5 p.m. this this afternoon at the corner of 9 Mile and Woodward in Ferndale and bring signs. It's obviously against this horrible thing that's passed, this right to work pass, and, of course, a vigil about the assault on workers because of our lack of democracy and of what has happened and the assault of children and gun laws that should be implemented and aren't.
Well, I'll make sure that I mention it throughout the show today, Carolyn. Thank you so much for calling in and letting us know about that. I appreciate your call a great deal. Yeah, it's important, folks, if you can get out there to do that. Give me an intro, guys. We'll get going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And joining us now is my sister, Christine Berry, from bloggingformichigan.com in our blog roll segment this week. Christine, my gal pal, how are you today?
How are you?
I've had better weeks.
I know. I know. So if I, you know, we were, can you hear me okay? Because I'm getting an echo.
Yeah. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not, but I'm going to change my headset if you don't mind.
Don't mind at all. I'll let you go ahead and do that. Remind people if you want to join us throughout this segment, our number is 888-552-3595. The email address, of course, tony@thetonyshow.org and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. And let's check back in with Christine. How are we doing now, Christine?
Okay, how does that sound?
Much better.
All right, sorry about that.
That's all right. Let me set this up this way. You obviously, and thank you, because you do listen to the show, and I appreciate that. And I do appreciate that. You heard me talking this morning about the root cause of this violence problem, which I believe is the way we ignore the mentally ill in this country, especially in the state of Michigan. You had sent me an email, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 minutes ago, asking if we could switch topics. And I want to say up front before we get into this that I think you're showing a great deal of courage this morning, and I appreciate that.
Well, it doesn't feel a lot like courage, but, you know, I was mentally prepping myself for today. Of course, today being our last blog roll until you find your new home, which I'm sure you will. And I was planning on imploring your audience, please be the activist, be the revolution, you know, you are the leader. And as I listened to you this morning, and the first word was sadness, and we were talking about mental health, as you said, and even the topic of food insecurity, and I thought, you know, it's time for me to eat my own dog food, I suppose. And so I thought maybe we could talk about my brother. But this is, I want to warn you, all your listeners, this is the first time I've ever talked about it. And I probably won't be very eloquent, but I'll do my best. So my brother is 5 years younger than me, took his own life in 1998. He was a very smart young man. He was sharp as a tack, really. He was really funny. He was a joy to be around when he was doing well. But he had what we all thought was a huge attitude problem. He had a very quick temper. If something made him mad, he couldn't reason through it. He acted disproportionately to the incident. For example, just a quick example, he wanted to ride somewhere, and I said no, and he put his fist through a window. And even while we were getting his hand treated, he was still angry about, you know, not being able to get a ride. He hated school. He hated authority in and out of jail. He had so many talents, and he had a great capacity to love. And when he loved someone, he loved them wholeheartedly. But he was damaged in some way. And, you know, at the time, we really just thought that it was an attitude problem. And this is why I wanted to talk about this, Tony, is that, you know, the effect that this had on my brother, he was homeless at times. He lived in poverty most of his adult life. Even when we tried to help him, he couldn't keep a job if the job made him mad. He was able to keep a job if he liked it and there was no conflict or anything, but otherwise his his anger got to him and he wouldn't be able to keep the job, and it would make the rest of us mad because he would depend on us to help him out. I think I said he was in and out of jail. I can't remember. But anyway, this culminated in him taking his own life. And every time we have a massacre like we did in Connecticut or, you know, Aurora or any place else, I think, you know, there but for the grace of God goes my little brother. And although he never did anything to make me think, you know, I don't think he ever did anything violent toward anyone, except possibly himself. But there were many times when he would zone out in such a way that I would wonder, does he have the capacity to hurt me if I don't get away from him? And I don't know if that's true or not. And now that times are what they are, and, you know, hindsight being what it is, I think, you know, I should have taken him to a doctor and gotten him some medicine. That probably would have helped him. But at the time, we didn't talk about mental health or depression. It, you know, depression manifests itself in ways that don't look like the person is depressed. And so now I think it would be different if he was living in this world. Now we would know maybe we'd better see a doctor, but at the time we didn't. And mental illness, Tony, is so cruel, and it's so stealthy. It creeps in on people, and they don't always see it when it's there. And so I guess I wanted to take this, our last, you know, time together for a while, and just ask your audience to look around and see if there may be someone suffering near them.
Well, you know, Christina, as you may have heard me say earlier on in the program, you know, oftentimes when these kinds of problems plague a family, and it is a plague, you know, I have an older brother who is no longer with us. And he suffered from mental illness as well. And although he, well, I guess technically he did take his own life. He was born a diabetic, and he had a chip on his shoulder about it, and he never really did take very good care of himself, and he was also in and out of prison. He was also very dangerous to himself, and sometimes to my parents. Emotionally, the abuse in that house was from him was overwhelming, Christine. You know, I guess I'm only thinking about this, as I just said, it's never touched me. I was wrong. It has touched me. And not that I was trying to bury it by any measure, but people don't understand the difficulty in the family dynamic when you just don't know what word or saying, or as you said, hey, can I have a ride somewhere? Happens all the time, right? I just don't have time right now. Bang, sets them off. You don't know. And then we take a look at a state, and I'm going to use Michigan as an example because it's where we're at. You take a look at what John Engler did to mental health care. You take a look at what's happened to the mental health care providers in the state of Michigan. And I hate to say this, Christine, but I don't know that there would have been help for your brother, because we don't have the opportunities that we once did to help people. We've got a problem, and I believe it's the root cause. Not treating, not identifying mental illness is the root cause of way too many institutional problems in this country.
Well, I agree, and it's a shame that we're so busy defunding the things that could help us. Somebody at a school could have said to us, you know, I see some symptoms in David that, you know, you should maybe have looked at by a doctor, or, you know, somebody somewhere could have said this might be autism or a mild form of it, or, you know, somebody could have done that outside of our family. Our family had no reason to think that David needed a doctor. We thought that it was a bad attitude that we could correct through things like, you know, him growing up, or, you know, some sort of discipline or whatever. And this is why I really wanted to talk about it, Tony, because you see it in so many people who say this person has a bad attitude, he's in jail over and over and over again. And, you know, maybe it's true. Maybe the person's just indifferent to their life. But when you suggest maybe that person's suffering from an illness, maybe there's a depression factor, maybe there's just something there that can be medically treated, and this person can get back on track and contribute to society. And the response is quite often, you know, anger. No, yeah, that's not true. He's just got a bad attitude.
Right. Christine, hold that thought. We've got to get to the break. Much more with Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com when Blog Roll continues right after this.
This is Jessica Tremontana, Communications Director with Progress Michigan, and we wish all of Tony Truppiano's audience a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
A fun date night for a measly $10? We're not talking turkey here. Sylvan Lane's Bar and Grill features flat screens, litter couches, a full bar, delicious eats, and, oh yeah, bowling. SweetJack.com nabs 78% off.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing, that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310. WDTW.
Welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano. Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com is my guest. And Christine, I have to tell you that via email and Twitter, our conversation is really resonating with a great many people this morning. Many of them are expressing personal stories of either brothers, sisters, family members, children that are burdened with mental illness and the lack of support the families have. And really, Christine, that is the greatest challenge, is when this is happening to you, whether you recognize that it might be some form of mental illness or, as you said, an attitude problem. When you are mired in this as a family, it can be very daunting. And let's be honest about it. For a lot of families, it's very embarrassing.
Well, it's certainly embarrassing. It feels like a very lonely problem. I know that with my brother, I felt the whole range of emotions with my brother, from despair for what his life would turn out to be, anger at him for not just straightening up. You know, sometimes I felt indifference toward him because he simply wouldn't take care of himself and he was constantly coming to me for help, and then resented me because I tended to, I was trying to kind of use my help to get him on the, I'll help you with this if you promise to go to school, that kind of thing, which he just resented so much and I think at times hated me for. It's horrible, and it feels so alone. There's nobody you can turn to who would understand it unless they were going through the same thing. And since nobody wants to talk about it, you don't know who's going through the same thing. So it is one of my greatest regrets that we, as a family, didn't recognize that maybe a doctor could help. But again, it was the 90s, and you didn't talk about it like you do now.
And Christina, I hate to be so cold about this, but I don't know that it would have helped because there just weren't and there still aren't a lot of options. You know, since John Engler did this in the 1980s, we have seen less and less access to mental health care in this country. And it is, and especially in the state of Michigan, county by county, they have systematically defunded programs that would have helped your brothers. So the help may not have even been there, Christine, had you have sought it out. It's sadly true. Let's go to Barbara and Wayne and welcome her to First Shift. Barbara, thanks so much, and appreciate the phone message yesterday as well. Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, Tony. I join in with the rest in terms of my great sorrow, and I'm going to really be looking forward to hearing from you and Christine again soon in the same format. I wanted to make a comment. Years ago, my psych instructor made a statement. He said, tomorrow when you pass by an elementary school yard, the kids are out for recess, pick out one out of, and I'm sorry, I can't remember whether he said 10, 15, or 20, or 25, but pick out out of that group of children, one or two, and make sure you include your own in there because that represents the number that we deal with in terms of our society of mental illness. I never forgot that or its impact, and I was just absolutely shocked when Engler, and he wasn't the only, GOP governor at that time that literally just dissipated all of the hospitals, psychiatric hospitals.
Yeah, and Barbara, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're a little short on time, so thank you for your call. He wasn't the only one, but he was the leader, Christine. Not only that, he was the leader in reforming welfare. He was the leader in defunding so many things like food stamps and others. And again, this is inexcusable, Christine, that at a time where society needs us the most, they seem to turn our backs on us. And I'm sorry, but it always seems to be the GOP that's doing it.
They tend to go after the weak so that they can win the hearts of the, you know, very strong. And I don't understand that. So many of these people claim to be Christians, and that's not what Jesus would have done. You know, we care about our weak and our poor, and, you know, people with mental illness fall into all of those. I mean, people say they want to help with the homeless problem. Why are our veterans, you know, 25% of our homeless in this country are veterans? Well, it's because they're struggling with this sickness that you don't seem to want to acknowledge. I don't understand what favors we're doing to ourselves by cutting these programs turning a blind eye.
Absolutely. It is my hope and prayer that once we find a new home we will certainly do a series on mental illness and the help that is available so that we can start helping people. Christine, I want to thank you for, again, your service to this audience. I can't imagine what my life would be like had you not come into it, and I can't thank you enough for everything that you have done for me personally and professionally.
Thank you so much, Tony, and everyone who's listening.
I love you, dear.
Love you, too.
All right. To Christine Berry, once again, with bloggingformichigan.com. Let me turn my attention now to my brother, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. And while I'm there, I want to thank the Teamsters out at District Council 3 in Warren, who had me out Saturday morning to speak to their group right before their holiday gathering. Had a wonderful time out there. My brother, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, Tony. It just got some bad news this morning. I got off an airplane. I've been in L.A. for 5 days and just come back and realized that my brother is going to be off the air. Well, I give you my commitment. It's not going to be long. These guys just never cease to amaze me. They want to crush voices of working people. And, you know, it shouldn't shock us any. But, Tony, I just want to tell you that you're a yeoman. You keep up the fight. I love you and your family. I wish them the joyous and merriest of Christmas, the happiest of New Year's. And then we're going to have to circle the wagons, my friend, and have lunch with our friends, and we're going to have to figure this out. because we got to have this progressive voice of yours on the radio, and because we have so much education to do, as you've seen the tsunami that hit Michigan with the politicians from the far right. They don't care. They're just going to jam everything they can down their throat because they know in 14 it's going to be a shedding of the House.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we will find a way to get back on the air. If you you check your voicemail, you'll see that there's a message from me waiting for you. I assume we're going to have you this Thursday.
You couldn't keep me away from that radio show this Thursday.
All right. Well, that's great. And in the meantime, our mutual friend Bill Black invited me to your gathering tomorrow at noon, so I will see you then for sure. But this is really, Kevin, an opportunity in the best possible way to grow what we're doing. And, you know, as you know, God has a plan for everything, and I'm just going to continue to believe that, and I know that I cannot and will not be silenced.
Well, Tony, you've been knocked down many times before and always stood up and came back strong, and I'm going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with you because I couldn't imagine being in a foxhole with anybody but you.
Now, God bless you, and that means the world to me, Kevin. Thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow. Folks, we got to get to the break for the top of the hour. My love to Christine Berry, Chris Savage, who both, of course, made Blog Roll the success that it is. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. Congressman John Dingell and Senator Coleman Young in the next hour. Stay with us.
The cutest little donkey, you never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer can, I climb the hills of Italy. Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a road closure due to an accident, Brown Road in both directions, between Giddings and Perks Road. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield Road. And we also have slow-moving traffic on the Lodge southbound between Wyoming Street and the Davison Freeway. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 46. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, a high of 43 with showers in the afternoon, and it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for four full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday.